Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. Running a little series on this passage because we want to deal with the matter of prayer. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Now today what we want to look at is the results of prayer. Not so much that you get the answer for the thing you were praying for, but all those extra things you get when you pray. Let's read the passage, and I'll show you one of them right here in the passage. John chapter 16, verse 23, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive," now watch it, "that your joy may be full." So this joy that comes in answers to prayer is one of the extra benefits, one of the added benefits of praying. You get something more than what you ask for. In other words, oftentimes when you're praying, you don't say, for instance, Lord, I need $5 to pay this bill. Please, Lord God, help me to earn or receive this $5 in order to pay this bill. And Lord God, I thank you for the joy I'm fixing to receive. A lot of times, you know, you get desperate, you ask for the money, you get it, you say, thank God for it. But what comes as a result of the answered prayer is joy. And he said here that your joy may be full of joy. So there are always side benefits to prayer that exceed the simple answer to the request. In other words, you get something more than you ask for in prayer. Now, the great thing about what we're going to see today when we study this thing on the results of prayer, what we're going to see is I've listed 9 things. There must be a dozen more. But I've listed 9 things that come as a direct result of prayer that go beyond generally the thing you ask for. And the first 3 of these are things that everybody needs. When you talk to your friends, when I talk to my friends and people that we meet, the 3 things people want are joy, peace, and pleasure. They want joy. They want to be happy. They want peace. They're unrest. There's distress. They're unsettled. They're uncertain. They want peace. And they want pleasure. And you know, I'm telling you, this world right now is willing to pay a tremendous price for pleasure. Really and truly. With movie theaters and vacation packages and cruises and, you know, international travel and restaurants and entertainment centers and bars and nightclubs and blah, all the things you think of that people go for to entertain them, entertainment centers in the house, all that kind of stuff. That stuff comes at a very high price, and people are looking for a way to find pleasure out of things. So the first 3 things that you get out of prayer are joy, peace, and pleasure. The first one we saw right here is joy. The great thing about the joy that you get that comes as a result of prayer is that it is real. You see, prayer actually is hard on the flesh. Jesus Christ said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he said that to his disciples when they kept falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was praying right before his crucifixion. So prayer is actually very hard on the flesh, and yet the result of prayer is joy. Something that you have to endure a while in prayer results in something that you cannot get any other way on this earth. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and some other things. Yet joy comes from the Spirit. The Spirit loves to hear or loves to be involved with us in prayer to the Lord God. And you'll get joy. Now, the world's happiness is a fleeting happiness. In other words, some sort of outside stimulus causes joy. A person pays a little money, they win a small amount in this lottery thing or whatever, and they get all excited. But that's temporary. A lot of times people will do that, and in a matter of years, they're bankrupt, they're very sad, they've been divorced. You know, their life is a wreck. Why is that? The outside stimulus is removed, the sudden surge of winning, the extra money that you have. The outside stimulus is removed, and all of a sudden, when it's gone, so is the happiness, and you find yourself in a worse case than before you had whatever it was that made you happy. Joy with Jesus Christ is not like that. Joy with Jesus Christ will take you through an affliction, through terrible circumstances, through persecution, through infirmity, through any other kind of thing, and you'll still be happy. You'll still have joy in Jesus Christ, and it doesn't make any difference whether your circumstances are good or whether your circumstances are bad. It doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference to God at all, and it really ends up making no difference to you. The joy, it comes from the inside. It is put there by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the direct result of praying. Not necessarily asking for joy, just praying in general. Just communing with the Lord God and finding a fullness of joy. Wouldn't you love that? Today, so often, people are on roller coaster rides. And they need so much to help lift them out of the doldrums. Children are like that. You know, you take a child and give him a nice meal, nice place to play, a lot of entertainment, get him involved in sports or whatever. And all of a sudden, when they have like a two-hour period on a Saturday when nothing's going on, they are bored to death. What's the problem? Well, joy is not part of human nature. So, to get that joy, you've got to have something spiritually input by the Holy Spirit, and that comes with prayer. So, one of the great results of prayer is joy. Another one is peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 say this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now that's great. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeping your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing in the world that can afford peace like that. That is a peace that passeth understanding. Now, I don't make light of the fact that some people really do have a chemical imbalance, and there are various types of things that are being prescribed by doctors to deal with those imbalances, and it's an unfortunate thing. But, you know, truthfully, there are far too many people that are on antidepressants and other kinds of things as a quick fix to a distressful situation and a depressing situation. You know, what they really are lacking is peace. And peace is not something that is prescribed. Peace is something that comes as a result of prayer. "With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God," not your peace, "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, wouldn't you love to have that? You can if you'll take the time to pray, just like Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. But you know, it's a funny thing. People think, "I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I'm so busy, I don't have time to sit and visit, I don't have time to do this." If you don't have time to pray, you are going to find immediately two major ingredients of life are missing in your life: joy and peace. Now, I'm very busy, but I have learned by experience that in my life, I have got to get up early enough to be able to read my Bible every day, and pray every day. And when a day comes, for whatever reason, that I miss that routine, the first two things I see missing from the day are joy and peace. Absolutely. I know from the Bible what I'm saying is so. I know from personal experience. And you don't have to get away from it for 2 or 3 or 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 years to find out that you're without joy and peace. One day without time in the book and time on your knees, and you can already begin to recognize that there is a lack of the fullness of joy and a lack of peace. That's not all. Pleasure. Pleasure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul had been praying about God taking the thorn in his flesh away. But the Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Then watch this. Paul said this, "Therefore, I take pleasure In infirmities? No way. Reproaches? No. Necessities? Uh-uh. Persecutions? Not hardly. In distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Whoa. The direct result of Paul's prayer to have the thorn in his flesh removed was pleasure in the very things that were sent to hurt him and humble him. Wow, what spiritual ground he was on. You know, right now people are not pleased unless they have something that is fun. And usually that costs a lot of money, and it's very temporary. It's great. It's a great deal of pleasure to get into a social situation with some folks, sit around a good meal and enjoy all that stuff. But Paul said, while you have pleasure in that, and there's nothing wrong with having good fellowship with Christians around a good meal, that's a good thing. But Paul said, not only in circumstances like that, he said, I know how to abound, but I also know how to be abased. Paul said, my pleasure is in infirmities, reproaches, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake, because I learned something. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That is unbelievable that somebody could get to that point. He wasn't lying. He wasn't kidding. He proved it by his own life. But the point is that if you want pleasure, it's going to come as a direct result of your prayer life. People say, well, nothing makes me happy anymore. A guy says, I want money. So he goes and he gets a job and he's very successful and he gets money. Solomon said, a man that desires silver is not satisfied with silver. A man says, I want a beautiful bride. He marries a beautiful bride. And the Bible says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. A bride gets married. She says, I want to have children. She can't have children. It says the womb that's barren like that, never satisfied. And on it goes through life. People are not satisfied. They're not satisfied with their jobs. They're not satisfied with their marriages. They're not satisfied with their kids. They're not satisfied with their church. They're not satisfied with their possessions and so forth and so on. There's always something concerning them. And Paul said, we are nuts to go that direction. Paul said, the pleasure is as a direct result of prayer when God supplies his grace that more than offsets infirmity, distresses, persecutions, reproaches, necessities for Christ's sake. Because it's better to be strong in the Lord than it is to be strong in yourself. You've got to be weak in yourself to be strong in the Lord. Wow. The three main things that people want today, joy, peace, pleasure, all come as a direct result, an added result of a good prayer life. But that's not all. Something else. Fruit. Fruit, I don't know if it concerns you, but it should. Whether or not you're producing fruit, winning souls. And I don't mean just getting somebody to bow their head and pray. I mean actually actively involved in trying to tell others about Christ continuously and actually watching Jesus Christ begin to make a change in their life. They get saved. They actually grow. They become involved in church. The whole thing. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That's what he wants us to do. Reproduce. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's a prayer promise. And what's connected with that prayer promise is bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, my life is barren. The statistic is that 95% of Christians have never won a soul to Christ, never been responsible for somebody who was lost coming to Jesus Christ. That number may be right, I don't know. But I've seen that statistic on several occasions from several different sources. So there must be some truth to it. Even if the number were 75%, that means that one out of every four Christians has reproduced at least one other Christian, and the other three have done nothing but dead-ended in their Christian life. They just came to a place where they got saved, and then that was it. They weren't going to try to win another soul to Christ. That's a sad situation. Jesus Christ said, I chose you, and I have ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. You are not living up to your ordination. You are not living up to the Lord's choice. When you dead-end like that. You say, well, boy, how do you just don't understand? It's so hard for me to talk to people about Christ and all that. I understand. It is still very hard to talk to people about Jesus Christ on so many occasions. But let me tell you something. You want fruit in your life? Pray. Seriously. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's what he said. So you want to be fruitful? Say, God, I want to be fruitful. Really, a pastor friend of mine one time years ago came to me, and I mean, he was really, really upset about something. And he said, My concern is that I've not been able to lead a soul to Christ in over 2 months. Would you pray for me? See, prayer. Fruitfulness is connected to prayer. I said, not only would I pray for you, I'll pray with you. Let's pray now. We knelt down together right there and began to pray. God allowed him to lead a soul to Christ shortly thereafter. What is that? That is your ordination, your choosing by God Almighty after you get saved is to produce fruit and fruit that would remain. And in order to be fruitful, one of the things you must do is approach the throne of grace and talk to God about it. You know, if you pray for people who are lost to be saved, guess what? You'll become fruitful. So there's some great direct benefits of prayer. Joy, how needed that is. Peace, absolutely. Pleasure, wonderful. Fruit, tremendous. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas are in jail. They followed the Lord's direction, went right into Philippi and got locked up. Wow, what joy, right? What peace, what pleasure. They didn't mind. They just went in there and began to pray and sing hymns. What happened? An earthquake came. Everybody could have left the prison, but they didn't. The prison guard came in, saw that situation, and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they led him to Jesus and his house. And from there, a church in Philippi got started. You say, what is that? That's fruit. Why? Because instead of belly aching, instead of Paul and Silas trying to figure out how to hire an attorney in Philippi to sue that stupid people that put them in jail and beat them without a trial and all the other things they shouldn't have done, instead of trying to raise hassle with the people in jail and point the finger in the chest and do all that wild stuff, they just decided to pray and sing him, trust God. And as a direct result of praying to the Lord God, they were able to lead souls to Christ in jail. But that's not all you get. You also get filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You say, boy, I'd love to, but how do I get filled with the Spirit? Pray. Among other things, pray. You say, how do you know that? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Look over there with me real quick. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. The disciples had been told they couldn't preach in Jesus' name. They were threatened. So they prayed for boldness. That's what they asked God to give them, boldness. And verse 31 of Acts chapter 4 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Well, there you go. That's exactly. They asked for boldness, they got boldness, but in addition to that, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul gave us the command, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. You say, how do I do that? Pray. Pray for what? Everything. That's what the Bible said. Pray without ceasing. And he says, men always ought to pray and not to faint. Pray with importunity, all that stuff we looked at already earlier in the week. I'm telling you what, listen, the Christian life is simple. Read your Bible, pray, love one another, go to church, respond to the preaching, be a doer of word, not a hearer only, and above all, love God. You say, yeah, man, that's all real simple. It's a really simple layout. But, boys, it's sure hard to do. Yeah, because the flesh is weak. But I'll tell you what, all the things you ever hope to get out of Christianity come from those little things. Look at all this stuff so far we've seen that comes as a result of prayer. Joy, peace, pleasure, fruit, and filled with the Spirit. It doesn't take entertainment in church in order for people to feel like they're filled with the Spirit. It takes prayer. Amen. It takes prayer. Prayer will give you everything the world hoped to find in all five of those things, and there's more. It'll give you strength and power. Strength and power. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, you're very familiar with this text, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, all the way through verse 18, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, shield of faith, loins girt about with the truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One piece missing. You know what it is? The leg greaves. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The one piece that's missing is the knee piece. You know why? Verse 18, praying always. Praying always. Praying always. There you go. So when you pray always, here's what you get, strength and power. You know, really and truly, a lot of Christianity today is anemic. Truthfully, a lot of, and I'm not saying that, I'm not being critical, not pointing fingers at anybody. That's a general statement. Christianity today, for the most part, is anemic, powerless. And the reason is, I mean, it has a good appearance, you know, boy, fancy church buildings, people all dressed up real nice in the best Sunday clothes, and nice cars out there in the parking lot, grass all cut real nice, hedges all cut real good, nothing wrong with all that, but where's the strength and where's the power? The church doesn't seem to be able to accomplish in towns the things that it used to do. People aren't being saved like they used to. Sin is more rampant all around us than it used to be. You know, people say, well, it's because the government did this and this and this and this of schools. But what about the homes? What about the people in the homes? Why are not the Christians in homes able to have more strength and power in prayer with God and raising the kids and in being able to stay away from temptation? You know why? Prayer life. Prayer life's gone. Prayer life is shot through. He said, pray always, and that way you can go in the strength of the Lord God, the power of His might, and you don't have to go on your own. You read that Bible. You go from Genesis to Revelation. You look through there. Every man that went in his own power and his own might, he had trouble like Samson. When Samson lost God's blessing, cut that hair, he couldn't do anything. Poked his eyes out, and they threw him in jail. Only when he had God's strength and power was he able to accomplish anything. Prayer is what gives that to you. Joy, peace, pleasure, fruit, filled with the Spirit, strength and power, and three other wonderful things. In 1 Timothy 2:2, one of the great benefits of intercessory prayer, that is praying for kings and rulers and people that are in authority, praying for others that need, is a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know something? Years ago, they say about the old-time Methodists, they could go into their bank and they could tell their banker they wanted to borrow some money, and if they were a member in good standing at their church, that is, they had led a godly and honest life, they could borrow, they could establish credit on their character alone. Now, Paul says, you want to have a quiet and peaceable life? You want to live in godliness and honesty? Pray. Pray for others. That's 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. That's a great thing. Another thing that comes as a result of prayer directly is that the Word of God has free course. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. If you want the Word of God to have free course, pray. Now, what do you mean by free course of the Word of God? That means that when you go to church and you hear your pastor preaching, and you want that Bible to apply to your life and apply all over the place, by the Holy Spirit, without people having to direct how it's applied, if you want it to be used by God to win souls and straighten up your life and to get you in a right relationship with God and bring revival in the church and go outside the church walls and be able to go into restaurants where people get saved and all that other kind of stuff, if you want the Word of God to move with free course, you need to pray. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. That's what the Bible says. Pray. I witnessed to a waitress in a restaurant. Gave her a gospel tract. We were witnessing to her throughout the meal as she was bringing things and so forth. And at the end, I said, give me just a couple of minutes. And she did. And I said the gospel to her. And I said, have you ever heard that before? She said, yes, I have on several occasions. I said, oh, really? Do you go to church and hear the gospel preached? And she said, no, I don't. I said, well, then where did you hear the gospel preached on several occasions? She said, right here in this restaurant. I said, oh, really? Do you have a coworker or something that's trying to lead you to Jesus? She said, no. I said, really, then how are you hearing the gospel on a regular basis? She said, my customers are telling me. You know what that is? That's the Word of God moving with free course. We're not constrained here. I know friends of mine that are ministers in other parts of the world where the Word of God does not have free course. They've got to watch every step they make, one slip up, and they're gone. It's wild. You want the Word of God to continue to have free course in the United States of America? Pray! But that's not all. Colossians 4:12 says that when you pray, you can get a benefit of being perfect and complete in God's will. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Wow! You know what burdens young Christians and growing Christians? What is God's will for my life? That's what burdens young Christians and growing Christians. What does God want me to do? And if you want to be perfect and complete in God's will, you're going to have to pray. That is a benefit, a direct result of prayer. Now, I gave you nine things. In a short radio broadcast, that's hard to keep in your head. So we're going to just do a quick review. Here are the nine things that we listed. There are others. Here are the nine things we listed that are a direct result of prayer. And you can have these if you'll just take the time to pray. You say, okay, all right, what are they? Number one, joy. Real joy and full joy. Number two, peace. A peace that passeth all understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind. Peace. Number three, pleasure. Pleasure. Pleasure even in adverse circumstances. Fruit. Fruit, the ability to reproduce yourself so that somebody else will get saved. You don't have to go to heaven alone. Fruit. Filled with the Spirit. Not by some outside stimulus. Not by some surge in like a worship service. But that constant filling of the Spirit that is there to lead you through 24 hours of Christian life every day in the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. Strength and power. Strength and power is the sixth thing. Strength and power. Not your strength, not your power, but in God's strength and the power of His might. A quiet, peaceable life. Now, I'll tell you what, our rickety-rackety generation is anything but quiet and peaceable. Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Number eight, the Word of God moving with free course. No limitation on our ability to preach and follow God's words. And finally, being perfect and complete in God's will. Now, I'll tell you something. If those nine things are not things you want, I doubt very seriously if you are even saved. But if those nine things are things you see that you want, the very simple solution on how to get them is this and this alone. P-R-A-Y. Pray. Like Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not to faint. I challenge you to take God up on this. It's going to be a wonderful blessing for you if you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.